John chapter 4 and verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For the disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so he ministers to her, and then verse 21, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. Everybody said spirit. Spirit. That's not Holy Ghost spirit. That's a small s. That's your spirit. In spirit and in truth. Everybody said truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, capital S. They that worship him must worship him in spirit, small s, that's your spirit, and in truth. Amen. I just want to preach a little bit about worship tonight. Amen. And help us to understand our dedication and our commitment to God. Because we must be dedicated. We must be committed to God. Amen. And whatever that means and however, wherever it takes us, if we are going to be blessed, we've got to have God in our life. And God desires worship. God desires true worship. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. We thank you for your presence right now. We ask you to anoint the Word of God and to speak to our hearts. We give you thanks, we give you praise, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Praise God. When we talk about worship tonight, we are obviously talking about apostolic Pentecostal worship. Amen. We are talking about we are talking about an outward expression of our emotions, because when we get a hold of truth and we let truth get into our heart, there is a time and a place where that can come out and be expressed. Amen. And so we're talking about the kind of worship that we've seen here tonight, the kind of worship that we regularly get engaged in, where we reach out to God and where we worship God with all of our heart. And there are times we get emotional. There are times that we get stirred up in our spirit, because worship is really offering to God what we are from the heart. It's not impressing God with anything that we have done, but it is giving our whole life, what we are, to God. And tonight you might not feel like you have a whole lot to offer to God. Join the rest of us here tonight, because none of us have anything to offer to God. There is nothing that we can give to God that would please Him except our life and our faith in Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But when we have faith in God, then we please Him, and He moves and comes closer to us. Praise God. And we could talk about worship and offering to God. There are many places in the Word of God that we could go to tonight where worship and sacrifice was offered to the Lord. We would see, if we went to all of them — I'm not going to go to all of them tonight — but if we went to the majority of them, we would see that God desires a certain kind of worship. Amen. That God desires true worship. Amen. The true worshipers. The day is coming when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And we talk about the Father. The Father was God and is God Almighty. Amen. And He desires our worship and our praise. He desires the sacrifice of praise from our hearts. And it's more than just coming to church. And thank God for the emotional part of worship. I enjoy it. I wished I was younger and I could worship like I used to worship. But I just don't have it anymore. And I'm still going to worship God from the heart, and I'm going to give Him everything I've got. Praise God. Those of you that are young, when you run the aisles, it thrills my heart to see that. Amen. Those of you that are middle-aged and you run the aisles, it makes me feel good. Amen. I love to see the worship of the saints of God and to hear the worship of the saints of God. Amen. I'm going to join right in there with you. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody said they like the way I just kind of go like this. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm doing pretty good when I do that. And some of you can say amen with me here tonight. Praise God. We're doing pretty good, Brother Charlie, if we can just do that and worship God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Well, praise the Lord. Our God is a great God tonight. Greater than my problems, greater than my difficulties, greater than any mountain I may face. Amen. In fact, when you got God in your life, you'll look at those mountains and say, "Give me that mountain. Praise God, I'm going to march right up there, and I'm going to get what God has for me. I'm going to get it." Amen. If He said I could have it, I'm going to have it. Praise God. And I'm not going to worry about anything. Amen. I just want to worry about pleasing Him and giving Him something that is worthwhile. Amen. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 24, we can see here in Leviticus chapter 9 that Moses dedicated the tabernacle and the glory of God came down. That would be in Leviticus 9 and verse 23, I believe it is. And then it says in verse 24, this is the kind of worship that we seek after. And I would like to encourage us to seek after this kind of worship because it is true worship. It is worship that is designed by God. Amen. It is a plan that is designed by God, and we line up to the plan that God has. But it's more than just lining up with the plan that God has. Amen. It is worshiping God from the heart and giving Him our spirit. Amen. Giving Him our spirit. Our spirit would be our attitude. Our spirit would be those areas of life, our personality, our spirit. Amen. And give that to God and to worship Him after we have made sure that we've done everything the way He's asked us to do it. In other words, God is not hard up for worship. He's not going to take any kind of worship that we give Him. Amen. But God is looking for true worshipers that will worship Him in spirit. That means get with it. Praise God. And in truth. Amen. That means measuring up to the Word of God. And both of those express the desire of our heart. Both of those will be an expression. When those two are together, amen, they are wonderful. When you express how you feel about others, and it comes from your heart, and it comes from your spirit, and you know that that's what they like, I'm telling you, it becomes an irresistible thing. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. If you know your wife likes red roses, don't get her white carnations. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Just give her what she wants. Oh, now it's getting real quiet. The revival's over. Praise God. No, just give her what she wants and do it the way she likes it. Praise God. And do it from your heart, because she can tell if it's from your heart. Praise God. Don't say, well, Pastor said I'm supposed to do this, so here are the roses. It doesn't work that way. Amen. And it doesn't work when we worship God, when somebody says, come on, folks, let's worship God, and then we worship God. Well, praise the Lord. We've got to be true worshipers. And when we worship from spirit and in truth, it is irresistible to God. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is seeking for people. God is seeking for those of us that are here tonight. You're not here by accident. God is seeking you. God wants you. He wants you to serve Him. He wants you to live for Him. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to worship Him. Praise God. And when we see it and we work it out in our everyday life, and we do it when we come together corporately as well, amen, that's when we are going to have a move of God. And we need a move of God, folks. I need a move of God. You need a move of God. We've got to have a revival. We've got to see people praying through. Amen. I want the waters of baptism to be stirred up. Praise God. But no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. And the Spirit is going to come when we invite Him. Praise God. He's not impressed with our brick and our stone and our walls and our edifices and our buildings. He doesn't go to the biggest places. He doesn't go to the most beautiful places. But if faith is found in a stable, He'll come to this earth in a stable. Well, praise God. If faith is found out in a field in shepherd's heart, He'll go to the field and He'll bypass the house of God. I don't want Him to bypass the house of God. I don't want Him to bypass me when I'm in the field. I don't want Him to bypass me when I'm in the city. I don't want Him to bypass me wherever I am. And so I want to become and be a true worshiper of God. And so, verse 24 of Leviticus 9, they offered this sacrifice to God. And the Bible says, there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Amen. What an exciting moment it was. What a beautiful time it was when everybody shouted. Amen. You say, well, that's just strange to be shouting in church. Oh, I'm telling you what, you don't feel like it's strange to be shouting at a football game. You don't think it's strange to be shouting at a basketball game. You don't think it weird to be shouting when something happens like that in our world. Amen. I'm telling you what, my God is bigger than a pig skin that somebody throws to somebody else. My God is bigger than a ball going through a hoop. He's much more exciting. Praise God. And He deserves my worship and my praise. And can I say it tonight without being forward? He deserves your worship and your praise. And He desires your worship and your praise. And when we do it in truth, when we are true worshipers, and we seek to do it the way God wants us to do it, amen, then the fire of God is going to fall. I want the fire of God to fall like it did at Pentecost. He told them to go and wait. They went and waited. They followed the plan, and they did it from their heart. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost was poured out, and they began to speak in tongues. Tongues of fire came down upon them, fulfilling what John the Baptist said, amen, that he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. I want the fire of God down in my bosom tonight. Praise God. I've got the fire of God down in my bosom tonight. Amen. Because I know the Lord is with me. Amen. And he has come into my life. Has he come into your life tonight? If he has, amen, we ought to be shouting about it. Praise God. We ought to be shouting about it. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to spend eternity with my Lord. Well, praise God and shout. But there's always a Nadab and an Abihu. Chapter 10 and verse 1. And this was the sons of the priest, the preacher's kids. Amen. And Nadab and Abihu. There's nothing wrong with preacher's kids, by the way. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire thereon and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Right in the middle of revival, there was judgment that fell because somebody invented their own way of worship. Praise God. It was not based upon truth, but it was based upon man's imagination. It was based upon man's building of this form of worship. You say, well, you worship God the way you want, and I'll worship God the way I want, and you serve the God. There, it's all the same God. I'm telling you tonight, friend, it's not the same God, and it may not be the same worship. Well, praise the Lord. The Bible says there is another Jesus, and there is another spirit. I don't want another spirit. I don't want another spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. I want God's Spirit down inside of me. Amen. I want to be conformed to His Spirit and to the truth that He has given us in His Word. And it doesn't matter if you're the sons of Aaron. Amen. There's a plan. I said there's a plan. And the plan is given to us by God. Amen. You've got to go to the altar of sacrifice. You've got to go past the brazen laver of water, and you've got to enter into the presence of God. Amen. There's an altar of incense. It's made out of shittim wood, and it is to be burned, the incense, day and night. It was not ordained that that altar of incense would be carried around throughout the whole congregation. Amen. But it was designed that everybody would come to that location to offer the incense upon that sacrifice, upon that altar, which represented prayers and praise. Amen. I'm telling you what, I can't just go out in the darkness tonight and have church in my home by myself and read my Bible by myself. Amen. There's a plan that God has for us, and it's in the church of the living God, the church that he purchased with his own blood. Well, praise God, he is the head, and we are the body of Christ. I don't have the liberty to worship any way I want to worship. I don't have the liberty to live any way I want to live. Well, praise God. Because the way I live needs to measure up to truth. Amen. And truth is found in the Word of God. It's not found in some out-of-body experience that somebody had. It's not found by some angel that comes from heaven. For the Apostle Paul said, well, I hope y'all are going to be with me here tonight. But the Apostle said, if any man preach any other gospel than what I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And he said, even if it's an angel from heaven, amen, angels have not been charged with truth. Amen. The prophets and the apostles and Jesus Christ are the location of truth. We are founded upon that foundation tonight. And the Word of God is given to us. Thank God for His Word tonight. And it is with us, and it is preserved by God Almighty. It will never change. It does not have any errors in it. It is truth. And so I can't live my life any way I want to live. I've got to measure up to the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. I can't just do whatever I want to do and come to the house of God and worship. I can't just live any way I want to live and come and worship. But I'm telling you tonight, if you'll just present yourself to God where you are, and as you are, He'll accept you, and He'll begin to teach you and show you the way to worship. My pastor used to say that the highest form of worship is the life that you live. I believe that the highest form of worship that we have is the life that we live and the words that we say and the deeds that we do. He told me one time, he said, and he said from the pulpit many times, amen, that my Christianity would be when nobody was around and nobody would ever see or know. That's the height of my Christianity. And I can tell you tonight, I've fallen short of that mark. And I've fallen short of that more than one time. Amen. But I'm telling you, I'm coming back, and I'm going to line up to the Word of God, and I'm going to worship God from my heart. Amen. And I'm going to do it according to the Word of God. You know what? Other folks can have dead, dry, dull, boring church services, but folks, we can't do that. You know why? Because we've received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our sins have been washed away in baptism. Praise God. God has healed us. God has saved us. God has redeemed us from destruction. And we've just got to let Him know how we feel about Him. Can you just let Him know how you feel about Him right now? Praise God. I love you, Jesus. I give you thanks tonight, Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy. Praise God. Praise God. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise together. Amen. And this Leviticus here is the story when they established God's presence in their midst, and it was designed by God. And God was going to establish that worship was very important, and that He was not, desperate for any kind of worship, amen, but He wanted worship that was true worship. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, let's turn there tonight, and let's look at the Word just a little bit. Because I want us to see exactly what the Bible says about some of these things. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I'm having a hard time getting there. Just hold on. Somebody said, praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 23. I want to go back up a little bit from verse 23. No, I'll start at verse 23. And it says, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Praise God. And we see some things here. The Word tells us here that we need to declare His glory. Everybody said His glory. His glory. Praise God. God has glory in Him. And when the presence of God comes and fills a sanctuary of worshipers, we can feel the glory of God. Amen. The Bible talks about the glory of the sun and the glory of the moon and the glory of the different celestial bodies. One is brighter than the other. One is a little bit dimmer than the other. That is what it's talking about when it talks about the glory of the sun. The glory of the sun is that you can't look at it because it will hurt your eyes. But at night you can look up and look at the moon and it won't hurt your eyes because it is of lesser glory. And when we come into the knowledge of God and what He wants to do in our life, the glory of the Lord begins to shine in our heart. Amen. He begins to show us how wonderful He is. Just by being around Him, amen, you learn how wonderful He really is. Praise God. He is, you know, you don't have to tell people how good you are. Amen. You don't have to tell them how bad you are. Just being around people, you get a sense of their glory. Amen. If it is bright or if it is dim or anywhere in between. And it is the same with God. When we come into the presence of God, amen, the more you come around Him, the more you say, you know what? I've been missing some real important things in my life. I've been missing God. That's what I've been missing. Amen. And that's why we need to worship Him. Praise God. And so the Bible tells us here, that when we worship God, Genesis 22 and 5, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And this is where Abraham offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice upon the altar. He was not willing to hold anything back from God, but he wanted to give everything to God in his life. And he said, it is worship. Praise God. And so worship is what we give to God. Amen. We give to God of our spirit. We give to God of our substance. We give to God of our time and our talents. Amen. In other words, we give to God what we are. Who we are. We give that to God as a sacrifice unto Him. And we don't want to give Him a subpar offering or sacrifice. We want to give Him our very best. Amen. Amen. And so Jesus comes, John chapter 4. I want to go back to that for just a moment tonight. And I'm really not going to preach a long time. But in John chapter 4, Jesus comes to the well. And there's a woman at the well. Or he's sitting at the well and a woman comes to the well because they didn't have pipes and all of those kinds of things like we have today. They had to go and get the water for their day. And so she went to the well and she was going to get some water. And there's a stranger sitting on the well and he says, give me to drink. And what he was doing was he was introducing himself to her. And he was introducing what he could do for her if she would allow him to. And he recognized and he knew that she was thirsty, or she wouldn't have come to this well. And so there was an analogy that he drew from this. He knew that she was thirsty in a physical sense, but he also knew, as God Almighty, that she was thirsty in a spiritual sense, that there was an emptiness in her heart, that there was something down deep inside of her that said, there's got to be more to life than this. Amen. There's got to be more than just coming every day and going through my duties every day. Why am I here? What's the purpose of life? Young person, get a hold of that question big time in your life. Whoever we are here tonight, we've got to get that question in our heart and our mind tonight. Why am I here? What is the purpose of my being here? Amen. Because that purpose of God is for you, but if it's not in you, there's an empty spot inside of you. And that empty spot, you'll try to fill it with the water of this world. You'll try to fill it with the entertainment of this world. You'll try to fill it with all of the things that bring excitement and enjoyment and thrills in this life. Amen. But if you've lived very long in this world, you'll know, my friend, that the world can be fun at times, but then it can turn real ugly on you. But I'm telling you tonight, friend, Jesus will never turn ugly on you. And when you get a hold of Him, it's full of glory. Praise God. And He's got wonderful blessings for your life. Praise God. Give me to drink. And she said, why are you asking of drink of me? And so he said, go get your husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had four husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. You're right in that. And she stopped dead in her tracks, and she said, you know something about me. How do you know me? And it's not recorded here in John chapter 4, but the Bible says that Jesus told her everything that she had ever done. He told her about things that was done in private that she thought nobody knew anything about. But He knew about it because He's God. Amen. There were many things that He brought to her attention. And finally He said, woman, let me tell you something. Amen. The day is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And so what I feel like tonight the Lord is doing, the Lord is reaching out to someone to become a true worshiper of God. Amen. Amen. He's sitting at the well tonight and waiting to get engaged in a conversation with you. He wants you to know that He knows everything about your life, but He's still willing to let you become a true worshiper. Praise God. Somebody said, well, I'm going to wait to get baptized until I get my life straightened out. That's not the way you approach it. Amen. You come to God with your ashes and He'll give you beauty in return for that. Amen. You bring Him your sorrows, He'll give you joy in return for that. Praise God. He doesn't expect us to become perfect in order to join the church. No, we don't join the church anyway. We're born into the church by being born again of the water and of the Spirit. Praise God. And so He is looking tonight for someone to become a true worshiper of Him. You've tried the things of the world and it hasn't worked out. Amen. You've tried this, that, and the other, but you're not happy. Amen. You've tried it your way, but it's not working out. I'm telling you, there is a Savior sitting at the well tonight that is saying, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, come unto me, I'll give you rest. Praise God. And He's going to cry out like He did at the feast of the giving of the water. Praise God. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise God. You're not going to get that on your television. You're not going to get that on the internet. You're not going to get that from anybody in this world. There's only one place you're going to get that, and it's from God Almighty. He's looking tonight. He's reaching tonight. He's calling tonight. Amen. Praise God. Psalm chapter 149. I want to turn there as we finish here tonight. Musicians, come. Praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 149. Praise God. And then Psalm chapter 150. I'm not going to preach both of these chapters because they've got a lot to them, but let's look at it here. Psalm 149. Let's stand together with the Word of God. Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And His praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name in the dance. That's in your Bible tonight. Amen. Folks don't get out and dance unless they're really into it. And we're not going to go there. Amen. But we're going to dance unto the Lord. Amen. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and the harp. Amen. The harp being like the piano. And the timbrel would be like the tambourine. Praise God. Thank you. My pastor used to call it a devil chaser. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen. This is how we execute vengeance upon the devil and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. And so worship is not just giving to God something. Worship becomes God giving back to us something. When we worship God with our life, it's not a one-way street. We don't want that kind of a relationship. He doesn't want that kind of a relationship. He's not sitting on the throne just waiting for people to worship him, and then he nods his head and that's all there is to it. No, he gets involved with us. He comes. He inhabits praise. He inhabits worship. Praise God. And we have the ability to stand strong in God when we understand what it means to be a true worshiper. And in Psalms chapter 150, let's look at this here real quickly tonight. Come on now, follow with me. Psalm chapter 150, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, and praise him in the firmament of his power. So it tells us where to worship God. Praise the Lord. It's in order to worship God in his sanctuary. That's here tonight. That's where we come corporately to worship. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Amen. We are the temple of God. And so we should worship him from this temple that he has filled with his spirit. Praise him for his mighty acts. Now he's telling us why we should praise God. Praise him for his mighty acts. Has God done anything mighty for you? Two or three, four or five. God's been so very, very good. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And so it's not just praising God when he does good things for us, but the real essence of worship is praising him because of who he is. I can't just come and not worship him. I can't just come and bring empty hands to the house of God. No, 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 1,000 times no. I would not want to offend him. It's not because somebody's going to think something of me if I'm not worshiping, but I want to please him. I think he's so awesome. Praise God. Amen. God, I just think you're so awesome tonight. You feel that way? I do. And you know what? I think God's church is awesome. Because he dwells in the church. He's walking in the candlesticks. Praise God. And I'll tell you what, I think the saints are awesome. And you know what? I think the ministry is awesome. Praise God. I love it. I love preaching. I love everything that God established. I want to be a part of it. I want to be around when it's happening. Praise God. It's not because of just the things that he's done for me. It's because of who he is. And who he is the reason we are what we are today. That's why we worship him. And then it says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. This is how we praise him. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praised him with stringed instruments and organs. That was before electronic organs and pianos came out. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Praise God. Get up here. We need to hear from some cymbals tonight. Have you got any strings over here? There's one. Is this an organ? She doesn't have to pump it. Praise God, it's working. These things working over here? Might have been some heathen that made those things somewhere. But we're not going to use them for rock and roll music in the church. We're going to use them to praise God. Give me something on the cymbals. Come on. High sounding cymbals. Come on, give me something over here. You knew I was going to come over. You got anything? Yes, you do. I know you do. You praise God. But you know what? You say, well, when I come to church, I can't play the cymbals. I can't play the organ. I can't play the piano. Pastor won't let me play the tambourine if I can't keep time. We don't need anything out of time. So I guess I'll just sit here and be entertained. No, the Bible covers that aspect of it as well. Because it says, let everything that hath breath. Somebody take a breath tonight. I know some of you have been. If you're not breathing, you're not living. You're not alive if you're not breathing. But if I've got breath in me, God gave me breath. And you know what? Down, way down in here somewhere, right about right there where the knot on my tie is, there's a box in there. And God put strings in that box. And the air flows over those strings. And I can choose to just sit here. Or I can choose to bellow it out.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord.
Huh? Oh, God hears me. I worship in my heart. It's not listed there.